بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whoever has been guided by Allah, none can misguide him, and whoever has been misguided by Allah, none can guide him. I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. And I further bear witness that Muhammad is his true slave and messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow his peace and blessings and on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his household, upon all the noble companions. قال الله عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All who you believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam as Muslims. وقال الله عز وجل يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Rabb Allah, who created you from a single person, Adam, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut the relations of the wombs, the kinship. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah is ever an all watcher over you. وقال الله عز وجل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed achieved a great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. To proceed, the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the worst of evils are the محدثات, the newly invented matters in the deen. And every innovated matter in the deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dalala, is a misguidance, and every dalala is in the fire of hell. This is an introductory book for every Muslim, and the title of the book is called The Important Lessons to the Muslim Ummah, and it is a summary of the basic Islamic beliefs and acts of worship. And it is written by one of the imams in our time. The alim, the scholar, the admonisher, the one whose knowledge spread all over the world, benefiting Muslims. A scholar from the inheritors of the prophets, the ulama, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are the inheritors of the prophets. They make clear to the ummah that which is not clear from the deen, and direct them to the upright path and clear way, and make the message and the sunan of guidance clear to the ummah. This is the duty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed upon the shoulders of the ulama. This alim, his name is Abdul Aziz بن عبد الرحمن بن عبد الله the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdurrahman, the son of Muhammad, the son of Abdullah Al-Baz. And we will go over a biography which he dictated himself about himself. Rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, I am Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Muhammad bin Abdullah Al-Baz. I was born in the city of Riyadh in the month of Dhul Hijjah, the year 1330, after the Hijra of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I had my sight in the beginning of my early education. Then I was struck by an illness in my eyes in the year 1346, and my sight became weak due to that. Then I lost it completely in the early of Muharram in the year 1350. Walhamdulillah ala dhalik, and all praise is due to Allah for that. وأسأل الله عز وجل, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جل وعلا, the most high, the most magnificent, to substitute for me for that with sure knowledge concerning this life and the reward and good mention in the hereafter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised on the tongue of his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make my end a praiseworthy one in this life, and also the outcome in the hereafter. I began studying at an early age, and I memorized the Quran before the age of puberty. Then I began to take from the legal knowledge, al-ulum al-shar'iyya, wal-arabiyya, and the Arabic language before many of the scholars in Riyadh. And from those are the notable ones, al-Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Latif bin Abdul Rahman bin Hassan bin al-Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahumullah, al-Sheikh Muhammad, the son of Abdul Latif, the son of Abdul Rahman, the son of Hassan, the son of al-Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. May Allah's mercy be upon them all. Second, from the Sheikh Saleh, the son of Abdul Aziz, the son of Abdul Rahman, the son of Hassan, the son of al-Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, who was the judge of Riyadh then. Third, al-Sheikh Sa'd bin Hamad bin Atiq, another judge in Riyadh. And al-Sheikh Hamad bin Faris, who was the trustee on the treasury in Riyadh. And also al-Sheikh Sa'd Waqqas al-Bukhari from the scholars of Mecca al-Mukarrama. I took from him the knowledge of Tajweed in the year 1355. And also the most notable of them all, alhamdulillah, and that is Samahat al-Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim, Muhammad, the son of Ibrahim, the son of Abdul Latif al-Sheikh. And I stayed with him in his circles for about 10 years. And I took from him all the branches of ulum, of legal studies, beginning from 1347 until 1357. Wherein, on that year, I was proposed to take a position in the legal system, and he was the one who nominated me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of them with the best of reward, and may Allah's mercy be upon them all. Since then, I had been assigned to many tasks. First, the judicial one in the area of Kharj, which is around Riyadh, for a long time, staying 14 years and some months, and it went between 1357 till 1371. Secondly, teaching positions at the Institute of Knowledge in Riyadh, legal knowledge, in the year 1372, and in the College of Sharia in Riyadh after it was established in 1373, in the disciplines of Fiqh, Tawheed, and Hadith. And I continued on that for 9 years. For 9 years, and this ended in 1380. In the year 1381, I was assigned as deputy chairman or vice chairman to the Islamic University in Medina, and this continued from 1381 until 1390. In 1390, I took the position of the presidency of the Islamic University in Medina after the death of our Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim al-Sheikh rahimahullah, when he died in 1389, and I continued for in this position from 1390 to 1395. And on the date, on the 14th of the month, the 10th month of 1395, a royal decree was issued assigning me to head the presidency for the committees on research, knowledge, legal knowledge, ifta, fatwa, and call and admonition. And I continued until this time, and we should say now, and he continued until he died, rahimahullah, in the year 1420. Until he died in the year 1420, 6 years ago. And in addition to this, I am a member in many of the councils, the Islamic councils. From that, the Council of the Supreme Council of the Scholars in the Kingdom, having still the at that time the Committee for Research and Ifta and Da'wah, also a member, and also the chairmanship of the Establishing Council for the Islamic World League, also heading the International Supreme Council for Mosques, also heading the Fiqh Council, Fiqh Islamic Council in Mecca, which is connected with the Islamic World League, member of the Supreme Council of the Islamic University in Medina. As to my works, authoring, then he mentioned some of his books, and these books are many, walhamdulillah, and they cover many disciplines, from Tawheed, from Salah, from the warning of innovations, warning against innovations, and also from the call to adherence to the Sunnah. All of these are now published in many volumes, known as Majmu' al-Fatawa, the collection of Fatawa. May Allah's mercy be upon the Shaykh, rahimahullah. Now we go to the book, and then chapter 1. Ad-Darsul Awwal, the first class in this book is concerning Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. And as you know, Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening chapter for the book of Quran. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, chose to talk about it in the beginning of this book. So he began with Surah Al-Fatiha, reminding about Surah Al-Fatiha and some other surahs, meaning that the Muslim should know and must know Surah Al-Fatiha in addition to some of the other surah. By way of memorization and by way of understanding. And we will go over these one by one. So we begin with Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, the most gracious, most merciful, Master of the Day of Recompense. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Guide us to the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who earned your anger. We read this magnificent chapter of the Quran many times throughout the day. And with every unit of prayer which we perform. This is because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, which is reported by Bukhari and Muslim, there is no prayer without the opening chapter of the Quran, of the book. And from the names of this surah is Al-Fatiha, meaning the opening chapter of the book. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it the opening of the book. Why? Because it is the first chapter that one reads when one opens the Quran. We should mention it doesn't mean that it is the first chapter to be revealed. Second, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also called it Umm al-Quran. The essence of the Quran. And also As-Sab' al-Mathani, the seven oft repeated verses. And also he called it Al-Quran al-Azim. The glorious recital. He said, they are the seven oft repeated verses and the glorious recital that I have been given. Why it is called the seven oft repeated verses? In Arabic it means As-Sab'ul Mathani, because its seven verses are read over and over. And it is called Surah Al-Hamd. Surah Al-Hamd. Because it starts with Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. So it is called the chapter of praise. Because it begins by the praising of Allah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means? Praised be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. And it is also referred to as As-Salah, because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the Salah has been split into two parts. So here it was called As-Salah. So this is another name for Surah Al-Fatiha. It is also called the healing, al-shifa, It is also called Ar-Ruqya, incantation, because it was recited when one of the Arabs was stung by a scorpion, and one of the companions recited the Fatiha upon him and he was cured. It is also called Al-Kafiya, the sufficient one. It is also called Al-Waqiya, the protective one. And it is called also Asasul Quran, the basis of the Quran. These amount to about 12 names for Surah Al-Fatiha.
This surah is a Meccan surah, and it is the opening chapter, or called opening surah, and it is called Surah Al-Hamd, the surah of the praise, because it comprises the praise of Allah Ta'ala. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, related that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, Alhamdulillah, referring to this surah, is called Umm al-Quran, meaning the essence of the Quran, or Umm al-Kitab, meaning the original of the book, and As-Sab' al-Mathani, meaning recited twice in every two rak'ah. Many treatises have been written by the great scholars of Islam concerning this magnificent and splendid chapter in the Quran, and it is the chapter which we recite daily in our prayers. And as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah pleased with him, said, every person, every Muslim who prays should stop and contemplate every verse from this chapter, the opening chapter, waiting for the response of Allah as if he hears him, because Al-Fatiha is divided between Allah and the slave worshipper. The slave praises Allah, then supplicates him, and Allah responds to his humble slave by fulfilling his request for guidance, as we will discuss. So when the slave of Allah says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in response, Hamadani Abdi, my slave worshipper, praise me. So this happens while you are praying. But how many of us really are pondering about this matter when we pray, that Allah responds to the slave worshipper in Salah, but he blessness, but rather tell people when they are in a state of forgetfulness, not concentrating, not pondering, they don't really achieve the understanding of what they are saying, and that's why it becomes like close to a habit, the words are being uttered on the tongue without any reflection. In fact, without even knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to these verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. So when the slave says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, Allah responds by saying Hamadani Abdi, as in the authentic hadith. Hamadani Abdi means my slave praise me. And when he says the slave Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most compassionate, the most merciful, the most beneficent, the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Athna alayya abdi, my slave has spoken highly of me and praised me. And Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are two of the names of Allah which are derived from Rahma. And Ar-Rahman is the one whose mercy encompasses all of the creatures. And when the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he is giving praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an acknowledgement of his mercy and of his innumerable favors which he confers upon his slaves to enable them to fulfill their duties towards him. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ibrahim what means, and if you count the graces of Allah, never will you be able to recall their number, as in Surah Ibrahim chapter 14 verse 34. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is pleased with the slave who, upon eating or drinking, says, Alhamdulillah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another narration said, Al-wudu ablution constitutes half of the faith. And Alhamdulillah, saying Alhamdulillah, fills the scale on the final day. And Subhanallah walhamdulillah, Subhanallah means far Allah is above any imperfection, he is the most high. And Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these two words, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, fills the space between the heaven and the earth. Allahu Akbar. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if someone performs salah without the recitation of Ummul Quran or Alhamdu or this opening chapter, his salah is deficient and incomplete. Abu Huraira was asked, even if we pray behind the imam, he replied, recite it in your mind. No, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah the Exalted says, which means I have divided the prayer into two halves between me and my slave, and to my slave belongs that which he asked for. When the slave says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise be to the Lord of the worlds, Allah says my slave praised me, Hamadani Abdi. And when the slave says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the compassionate, the merciful, Allah says, which means my slave commended me, Athna alayya abdi. And when the slave says Maliki yawm al-din, the king of the day of requital, Allah says, which means my slave glorified me, Majjadani abdi, my slave glorified me. And at one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what means? Allah says, my slave committed his affairs to me. My slave committed his affairs to me. And when the slave says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone do we worship and from you alone do we seek help, Allah says, what means? This is between me and my slave, and to my slave shall be given that which he has asked for. Then when the slave says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those upon whom you conferred your favors, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not of those who have deserved your anger, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, nor of those who have gone astray. Allah says, this is for my slave, and to my slave shall be given which he asked for. And to my slave shall be given which he asked for. This is the hadith which is known as the hadith of division between the slave and Allah. And this applies to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. From these words we know the significance and importance of this great surah, that it is a matter divided between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, this kalima, this statement, affirms every perfection to the Lord Allah, as well as tanzeehuhu subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring him free of all imperfection, above any defect in action, in attribute, and by name. And he is praised subhanahu wa ta'ala for his actions, for his attributes, for his names, above any imperfection in his actions, in his attributes, and his names, subhanallah. For all of his actions, he added, all of his actions are wisdom and mercy and a benefit and justice. And as to his attributes, all of his attributes are perfection, attributes of perfection and attributes of magnification. وَأَسْمَاؤُهُ كُلُّهَا حُسْنَى, and his names, all of them are best names. وَحَمْدُهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ مَلَأَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and his praise has filled the creation as well as the hereafter, and the heavens and the earth and that which is between them. The whole universe, مَاتِقٌ بِحَمْدِ, speaks the praises and celebrates the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the creation and the commandment all is originating because of his hamd, because of his praise. And it's established because of his praise. And his praise is the reason for the existence of everything. Every existing thing is a witness praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending the messengers, revealing the books, establishing the Jannah, the paradise, with its inhabitants, as well as the fire of hell with its inhabitants. All of this has been existing, manifesting in all of these aspects the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his praise. He is the one, therefore, al-mahmoodu lidati, he is praised because of himself. Even though the slaves may not praise him, he is praised by himself subhanahu wa ta'ala or for himself. He is the one who praises himself. He is the one who enabled the believers to praise him on their tongues and in their hearts. Therefore to him belongs all the praise. To him belongs all the kingdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his hand is all good, and all the affairs return to him, the secret and the open. And therefore, when we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a ni'mah, this is a favor in itself. In itself it should be praised. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah added that if the slave worshipper of Allah will exert all of his breath to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one single favor that Allah bestowed upon him, that would not be even sufficient. The praising of Allah is innumerable. We know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of the intercession on the day of resurrection, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for his ummah, for the disobedient of his ummah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَقَعُوا سَاجِدًا, I fall on my forefront, prostrating, فَيُلْهِمُنِ اللَّهُ مَحَامِدَ أَحْمَدَهُ بِهَا لَمْ تَحْطُرْ عَلَى بَالِي قَطْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires me to praise him in praises that never came on my thought whatsoever. So when they say also, when the believer says, Alhamdulillah, then he says, Rabbil Alameen. And it is from the slavery of Allah is to witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is singled out in his lordship. He is the one who created them and provided the provisions, and the one who runs their affairs, and the one who brought them to existence, and the one who keeps them self-sufficient or gives them to subsist. All of these aspects of rububiyyah, of lordship of Allah, entails that he is to be taken alone as the true God worthy of being worshipped. The one and only one to turn to at times of difficulties and at times of ease to be thanked. There is no Lord other than him, and there is no God other than him. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In this the witness, the slave, witnesses the comprehensive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy that encompasses everything. It encompasses every created thing. Every creature had taken its share from this overwhelming, wide and vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As to the slave, that part which he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, it is the one which led him to stand before Allah in prayer. He stands therefore addressing Allah with his words in salah, seeking his mercy, invoking him, asking his guidance, asking him to complete his favors upon him in this life and the hereafter. His mercy encompasses everything, as his praise encompasses everything, and as his knowledge encompasses everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghafir, chapter 40, verse 7, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Our Lord, you have encompassed everything with mercy and knowledge. Then when the slave says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the owner of the day of resurrection, this is the slavery of humiliation and humbleness rather, and submissiveness, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to judge on the day of resurrection, which he owns it. The slave of Allah will think twice about the matter of injustice and disobedience. That this matter of owning the day of resurrection tells that there will be time for accountability. Accountability on good and the accountability regarding evil. As we read in Surah Al-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 75, وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And the matter has been judged between them in truth, and it will be said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. So when the slave describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maliki yawm al-din, the owner, the possessor of the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, then he is the true king, the true king of this life and the hereafter. And this, in this it entails the manifestation of his justice and his might and his greatness and his oneness and the truthfulness of his messengers. That's why Allah in response says, Majjadani abdi, my slave magnified me. Why? Because this majd or magnification comprises praising with the attributes of greatness, magnificence, justice and goodness. That constitutes the magnification. So when the slave now reads in the salah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you, we single out in worship, and you alone, we seek for help. He waits for the response of Allah. The response of Allah is coming. Allah will say, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي, this is a matter between me and my slave. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ, and to my slave he will be given what he requested. Comprehend, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, comprehend the عُبُودِيَّ of these two words and its rights and their rights. The عُبُودِيَّ, the slavery in these two words, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and their rights. Comprehend them, Imam Ibn Qayyim said. And comprehend the secret that part of it is for the slave and part of it is for Allah. And distinguish between the tawheed necessitated by إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship, and the tawheed necessitated in the wording وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and we seek for help. Then you will find the secret why these words were in the middle of the surah. They came between the praises that were repeated before and the dua that comes afterwards. And comprehend why Allah put you alone we worship before you alone we seek for help. He wanted to introduce the worship, which is the action, before the help. Because the worship is for Allah and the help is for his slave. So إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُد, I'm just saying what he's saying. All of this explanation now up till this moment are based on the discussion of Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. So when the slave says فَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُد, meaning you alone I want to worship, and this comprises the righteous and pure action and the beneficial knowledge which leads to Allah, leads to know of him and his love with sincerity and purity, Ibadah is the right of Allah upon His slaves. Worship is the right of Allah upon us. And help, al-isti'ana, the aid, comprises the need for the slave to Allah in all of his affairs. So every worship, he added, rahimahullah, that is not directed to Allah purely, then it is batila, it's in vain, it's futile. And every help not sought from Allah, then it is a humiliation. So the knowledge that people should learn from these two words can cover their lives until they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then let the slave come and read the اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the verse guide us to the straight path, which means guide us to know the truth, guide us to seek it, guide us to work regarding it. Guidance to be firm on it. Guidance to call for it. Guidance to be patient on this, because the path of da'wah is not simple and it's not rosy. So through these five matters, knowing the truth and seeking it, acting upon it, being firm on it, calling others to it, and being patient on it, five ranks, through these the slave will perfect the guidance. Through these five acts the slave will perfect the guidance, and any diminishing in any of them will diminish the guidance as a whole. What are these five? I will repeat: knowing the truth and seeking it, wanting it, this is number one. Second, acting upon it. Third, being firm and steadfast on it. Fourthly, calling others to it. And being patient, because this calling of others may bring harm, and the person may get hurt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on us to recite this verse in the Quran every day and night, the five prayers, so many times. These are the obligatory ones. Why? Because we so much are in need of that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the path, that the way for this guidance is distinct and different from the other astray paths, the path of the people whom Allah's wrath is upon them, and they are the Jews, and the path of misguidance, and they are the Christians and the like. So the creation now is divided into three types with respect to the guidance. Those who are, I will type now. I will type with respect to guidance. From Surah Al-Fatiha alone we know of this. With respect to guidance, creation is divided into three categories. First, those upon whom Allah had sure knowledge. Jazakallah khair, very nice, barakallah feekum. Those upon whom Allah have conferred its favors. This is the first type. Those upon whom Allah have conferred his favors. And the other, this is the first one. Type is the misled type. Abbal, misled or astray, or being astray. This, he had not been given this guidance which we talk about. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the rightness, the straight path. And the third, those who deserved Allah's anger. Those who deserved Allah's anger because they knew, the truth, and they knew the path of guidance, but they abandoned it. And these are the Jews. As to those who are misled, those were the left ones, those who come astray, and those are the Christians. So the one, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had conferred his favors upon them, they know the guidance, they know the truth of Allah's deen, with knowledge, with action, and with belief. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And the one who is misled is the opposite. He's detached from it with no knowledge, no action. And the ones who deserved Allah's wrath, they knew, they deviated based on knowing the truth. After they knew it, after they became aware of it, they deviated. And the end, when we say Ameen, Allah allowed and permitted this Ta'meen. Why? Because this surah is all, the second part is all of it is dua. The second part is all of it dua. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Then Allah permitted for us to say Ameen. Why? Anticipating his response, expecting his response. That's why the Jews were so envious regarding this ta'meen, the saying Ameen in the Salah when they heard it. This straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been described to be the path of Islam and has been described to be the book of Allah and has been described to be the Sunnah and has been described to be the way of Abu Bakr and Umar. All of this is true. All of this meaning is true. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah gave the similitude of a straight road. On both sides of it are walls, in which are open gates with a curtain hung on each. At the entrance to this road stood a caller, saying, O people, enter the road, proceed. Straight ahead, and do not turn. Above this road is yet another caller who, if a man was about to open the gates and the walls on either side, would say, Woe to you, do not open it, because once you open it, you will enter it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted this similitude by saying, the road stands for al-Islam, and the two walls stand for maharimullah, the inviolable ordinances of Allah. The open gates stand for his prohibitions. The caller at the entrance to the road stands for the book of Allah. And the caller above the road stands for an exhorter on behalf of Allah in the heart of every Muslim, driving him to do good, meaning. And those whom Allah had conferred with his favors, Allah the Exalted, refers to the elite group of the people he favored in the saying in the Quran, He who obeys Allah, this is their qualities. He who obeys Allah and the Messenger will be in the companion of those upon whom Allah confirmed His grace or conferred His grace, the prophets, the true believers, the martyrs, and the righteous. And how excellent will be such companions. These are some of the meanings of this great chapter, the opening chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha.
And from the merits of this surah is what's reported from the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam to Abi Sa'id bin al-Mu'alla, may Allah be pleased with him. He told him لَأُعَلِّمَنَّكَ أَعْظَمَ صُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَن تَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. I will teach you the greatest surah in the Quran before you leave the mosque. And he took by his hand, and when he was about to leave the mosque, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, you told me that you were going to teach me the greatest surah in the Quran. He said, yes, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Hiya Sab' al-Mathani, it is the seven oft repeated verses, Wal Quran al-Azim, and the greatest reciter, which I had been given. And this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Ahmad. This surah, from the merits of this surah, is that it is a healing and a cure. In the hadith reported by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, he said, some of the companions of Prophet ﷺ came across a tribe amongst the tribes of the Arabs, and that tribe did not entertain them. While they were in that state, the chief of that tribe was bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion. They said to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, have you got any medicine with you, or anybody who can treat with ruqya? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet's companions, may Allah be pleased with them, said, you refuse to entertain us, so we will not treat your chief, unless you pay us for it. So they agreed to pay them a flock of sheep. One of them, the Prophet's companions, started reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and gathering his saliva and spitting it at the snake bite. The patient got cured, and his people presented the sheep to them, but they said, we will not take it unless we ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning whether it is lawful. When they asked him, he smiled sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, how do you know that Surah Al-Fatiha is a ruqya? Take it, flock of the sheep, and assign a share for me. Inshallah ta'ala, we will resume the discussion. We will continue the discussion on the other parts of the surahs which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned in the beginning of chapter 1, and that will be in the next meeting next Friday inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this from us and to have mercy upon the Shaykh, and may Allah the Most High make us from those who listen and who benefit and who act upon the knowledge they receive. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.